It's actually a very nice place and very, very good conference. Just a word about the affiliation. I'm actually at ICTP, but I'm on sabbatical until the end of the year, and I will spend my time between Princeton and Columbia. So that's where the affiliation comes from. This work is done in collaboration with Marcus Müller, my colleague at ICTP, and Valentina Ross, my student from ICTP, and Sissa, who is also here. Actually, she's in Princeton these days. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about today, and I apologize because some parts of the talk are going to be pretty technical, it's the integrals of motion for many body localization systems. So we have heard what they are, you know, what's the physics that they imply if they exist. So this comes from work by these people, some of which are present. And the goal of our work is to show that these integrals of motion actually follow from Bascolin-Schuller perturbation theory construction. And if they, at least for the Bascolin-Schuller Hamiltonian, and of course there is a mapping between spins and creation operator for creation annihilation operator for fermions. So we want to show this. We want to show that in some approximation, which is the same approximation that Bascolin-Schuller considered, which is the imaginary self-consistent Born approximation, the criterion for existence of the operators is the same as the criterion for many-body localization. So if one exists, then the system is many-body localized. And the last part will be, we'll present a new calculation, which is actually, it's a nice piece that I wanted to show you. A new calculation for the probability of having a rare event, of having a resonance, which is the main thing that one should look for when studying Anderson problems. And this calculation was done in the paper by Bascolin and Schuller by this Meyer-Meyer cluster expansion. And we reduced the calculation of this probability for correlated denominators to the solution of a Schrodinger equation on a line and finding the ground state. And as you will see, ironically, the ground state is a localized state for this model. So, okay. Okay, the strategy is to define the local integrals of motion perturbatively, write down their equations, approximate the equations, and find the solution of the equations. And since it's an infinite series, we need to study the radius of convergence, okay? And this will give us the critical interaction strength. Okay, let me just repeat what we know, what we have heard many times now, that for non-interacting particles, or if you can, consider, you know, a hopping problem, but with infinite disorder, with no hopping, the occupation operators are actually conserved quantities. And together with the raising and lowering operator and the identity, they form a linear basis for the 4 to the n dimensional space of operators. Okay. This means that any operator, any local operator, can be written in as a linear combination of these four things. If you want an operator which acts on more spin, you just take tensor product. Okay? So you go from 4 to 4 to the n. And you can find A0, but A0, A1, A2, A3, these coefficients by taking a scalar product in the operator space. Scalar product in operator space is just traces. So for example, you can recover A0 by taking the trace of the operator with the identity minus the trace of the operator times C dagger C. These are local integrals of motion, and they commute with the Hamiltonian and among themselves. At finite disorder, meaning that now I turn on hopping, we can again find local conserved quantities, assuming that all the eigenfunctions are localized. Okay. If this is the case, then you know we can just rotate the C and C daggers by saying, you know, creation and annihilation of a given eigenstate, which is localized. And the number operators is going to be something like this. This is C, this is C dagger. Okay. In the rest of the talk, I will use the letters A, B, and C to refer to localized eigenfunctions. And we start with the assumption, which was the assumption also of Bascarelli and Schuller, that all the single particle states are localized. Okay. All right, so the coefficients of Ci dagger Cj that you can extract, as I said, by taking traces is essentially exponentially decreasing in the distance between I and J. And therefore, this operator is local. These integrals of motion that I showed you, they are local and they are binary. So they are what pseudo spin or meta spins, as you guys have called. And they are very useful because you can use their eigenvalues to label the states. For example, you have a bit string of these integrals of motion, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, and this labels many body eigenstate. Very good, but they might be difficult to construct. So we might want to relax on binarity. Binarity means that the spectrum only has two values, but not on the locality. Okay, so in this sense, what you require is that there are integrals of motion which satisfy these kind of things. Okay, here I put C dagger C, but you know any of the four combinations, as I said, of the space of the local space of operators is allowed. Moreover, we think, and we can prove it to third order perturbation theory, that given a set of local integrals of motion which is not binary, we can actually find integrals of motion which are binary. Okay, so I would relax this condition, but I think we can recover it at the end. IA will be these integrals of motion, these new integrals of motion for interacting systems. Okay, so these were the No, it's an operator. IA is an operator. It's a many-body operator, and the scalar product of many-body operator with this kind of operators here. I want to expand this IA in the basis of local operators, and I want that the coefficient that links two local operators which are far in space is exponentially small. And I think we cannot require less than exponentially small, at least in the examples that we have seen. I think these integrals of motion really have an exponentially small tail, so we cannot require Gaussian, something like that. We should be happy with the exponential. Also because the non-interacting case has no exponential tails due to the wave function. Okay, so let's consider the model Hamiltonian of Bascarelli and Schuller, which has the single particle Hamiltonian here with disorder. And for example, let's consider the one-dimensional case in which all the eigenfunctions are localized automatically for arbitrary small disorder. Otherwise, if you want to go to three dimensions, you should consider a disorder sufficiently strong that it localizes all the eigenfunctions. And then there is a four Fermions interactions here, which has a peculiar form. It couples states which are either on the same localization volume or on neighboring localization volume. So your particle can create a particle whole pair, either at the place where it is or in neighboring cells. So jumping and creating this particle. Okay, this is not the only requirement. Also, the other requirement is that the energies, so the value, there is a dimensionless parameter here, which is lambda, and the dimensionful the energy scale is delta xi, which is the single particle level spacing for the localization length xi. Okay. All right. Okay, as I said, if lambda is equal to zero, this IA will be occupation numbers NA. And we want to find the IA of lambda such that they commute with the Hamiltonian. Okay. And we want to see if they are local or not.
So effectively, this is the latest model, right? This is the latest model.
Yeah.
You're coupling, so
yes, yes,
there,
exactly.
On your neighbors,
right? You assume that they can both produce particles on the same local site or neighboring sites. Yes. So far, it's not important, but I will consider one dimension. You will see that essentially the problem is the diagrams, you have to count at a certain point how many diagrams, and that changes a little bit with the dimension, but not significantly. Okay? All right, so if these integrals of motion are local and they exist for sufficiently small lambda, this is now we are. Getting to understand that this is a feature of many-body localization. One can think of solving it perturbatively, essentially imposing order by order the commutator is zero and expanding IA in orders of lambda. This is essentially what Johnny has done. For the spin model, and so essentially you can go order by order and solve this equation here, which means that you have to invert this super operator, which is the commutator of H0 with IA, which can be done if IA is order by order symmetric in the basis of H0, which you can do. So this means essentially that at a certain point you have to subtract some, at any order in perturbation theory, you have to subtract some diagonal components. Some components of IA which are diagonal in the basis of H0. Otherwise, you know, they will be killed by this thing here. And they are in the kernel of this superoperator. So you cannot invert the superoperator there. But you can do this order by order. Okay. All right, so we make the following ansatz now. Okay, so the idea is that we want to solve this equation order by order, but it, for the moment, it's better not to do that. We'll write down explicit equations for these coefficients here, which involve lambda, and then we will solve those order by order in lambda. Okay, so this sidestep is necessary just for the sake of clarity. Okay, so Aij are, so Oij are the following operators. They are normal order. They have all the C daggers to the left, all the C to the right, and I and J are just indices, are set of indices. Okay, so you can write this operator in this form and impose that the commutator with the full Hamiltonian is zero. This will give you a set of linear equations for Aij in the space of the set of indices. This space has the structure of Fock space, because the further you go in the number of indices, the more possibilities you have. Okay. Suppose we find this equation. Suppose we find the Aij. What we want to do is to see if this series, this perturbation series that we have to find at order by order in N, converges. Okay? So if this actually defines an operator. So we want that the probability that the norm of the operator be, let's say less than one, less than a constant, is actually one. Okay, there is something missing here. So what we need to do is two things. First, we need to find the probability distribution of this quantity here. And the second, we need to find the number of terms, effective terms, that come into the sum. This number will be given by two things, the number of the topologies of the diagrams and the number of possible assignments of the indices. These two things are separate, and they need to be taken both into account. Okay? The distribution of this thing will be found essentially exactly. So the equations that the Aij satisfy are these things. Okay, so oh, sorry, there is a box missing here. So there is a non-perturbative. There is a term which comes from lambda equals zero. And then there are terms which come at order lambda, and there are terms which, yeah, okay, so it's kind of complicated. So it's a kind of complicated set of linear equations, with the lot of coefficients. So in principle, you can put this into a computer and ask for the solution, but in practice, here there is a constant term, by the way. This is a constant.
I mean, this is just a condition of vanishing commutator.
Yeah.
So you plug in ansatz in the commutator and then project
yes.
it to like.
Yes. Okay. So what we need to do now is to simplify these things. And the simplification will be the forward approximation. Okay? So we don't consider terms in these equations, in the perturbative expansion lambda, that reduce the size of the set of indices. But we just keep going on and on. So this this on, for example, on the beta lattice, it means that you are just considering propagation along one direction and not coming back. And this actually gives a pretty good quantitative results for the threshold and also for other quantities for the Anderson localization on the beta lattice. Okay. As I said, forward approximation in which indices, amplitudes with different indices are connected only if they differ by one index of a particle and one index of a whole. Okay? So this means that we are considering diagrams like, so NA is this diagram, like C dagger C, A. Okay, this is the zeroth order. At third order, we have things like this. There are no loops in these diagrams. Okay? For example, you could connect this this hole here with the particle here, and this would essentially be a renormalization of the interaction between the particles. And these are also excluded in Bascoli and Schuler. So essentially, we want to look at the diagrammatic expansion of this equation that I showed you is essentially an expansion in terms of these diagrams, in which every particle or hole can pitchfork again and create a new particle hole couple. And so let me just show you these parts of the diagrams, which are you have to find essentially, let's say, the dressing of C Dagger and the dressing of C, and then put them together to get the dressed integrals of motion. So as I said, these are the same diagrams that are considered in imaginary self-consistent Born approximation by Bascoli and Schuler. And what to this diagram, okay, at each vertex, we have to associate a set of indices, which tells me which particle has decayed in which couple of particle hole and went to which other state, okay? And in perturbation theory, at every vertex, you have to put a denominator. And in the denominator, you have in the sum, you have, for example, here, so you have the difference of the energies of the particles in the holes coming, one side and the other side. So you see that the denominators, and then on top you have the matrix element, which we said it's just lambda times delta xi. So the bottom in the denominators, as I said, we have E, the incoming energy, plus delta E1, plus delta E, plus delta E1, plus delta E2, E plus delta E1, plus delta E2, plus delta E3, and so forth. So You see, the difference is, it's true that these things looks like a beta lattice in some sense, that, you know, in the space of operators, but the main difference is the denominators are correlated. When we do the same thing on the Anderson model, single particle on the beta lattice, the denominators are completely uncorrelated. So what we need now to look at is the distribution of this random variable, given that the delta E's are random variables, okay? There is another complication here. The other complication is that if I take this diagram or this diagram and I permute two vertices, I change the value of the amplitude, because now delta E3 comes in before delta E2. And I get this amplitude here, in which I have 1, 3, 1, 3, 2, 1, 3, 2, 4. This also needs to be taken into account. Okay. So for a given diagram, we need to sum over all permutations, possible permutations of vertices. Some vertices can be permuted, some vertices cannot be permuted. For example, clearly vertices which come in the same branch, this cannot be permuted with this, right? Doesn't make any sense. So there are some diagrams which don't have permutation, there are diagrams which have permutations, and so this might lead one to think that rare events in which the amplitude is large can come independently from each term in the sum, giving n's an n factorial, because the maximum number of permutations that we can have is n factorial here. Okay. And therefore, this will give a resonance probability which is never going to zero when n goes to infinity. Okay. At a certain point, you would think that at a certain point, you start having a resonance just because the number of permutations of a given diagram is grows faster than exponential. This is false, of course, because this will give no many body localized phase, and would rather say that we are expanding around an essential singularity in space of couplings. And in fact, what happens is that these terms are not independent. They are made of the same energies. Okay? They're just shuffled. So there is a way to simplify this thing. And Keldysh does this automatically, but we are not using Keldysh here. So we need to, you know, show that this is consistent. So in Bascom and Schuler, they, by doing Keldysh, they take into account this almost for free. Okay. So for example, but there are identities that one can actually derive. For example, if you have, you know, these n terms like this coming from a diagram which has n vertices on the top, n minus one vertices on the top and one on the bottom, and you can shift the bottom one in n possible positions, then you can rearrange this using an integral representation in just two terms. Let me show you briefly what the integral representation is. Okay. The integral representation is essentially, it's an integral in the complex plane, and there are poles on the top and poles on the bottom. N terms come from closing the contour on the top, but you can close the contour on the bottom, and you only find two terms. Okay, so this reasoning allows you to go from n factorial to, I think, order one per diagram, but we could only prove that it's some exponential. But at least this would change the critical point, but not kill completely the phase. Okay. How many diagrams do we have? Again, the first constraint is the topology, and the second is the assignment of the indices in the vertices. The topology means that we have to count these kind of diagrams, okay? And this is a problem that can be solved easily, and you find the solution. You have to find essentially, a function that satisfies this equation, and the solution is exactly this. By the way, something like this was also in the paper by Mierlin, Yes. And although they don't give, I don't know why, they don't give the exact result. They give, that goes like exponentially, and that's correct. But if you have the right result, you can get exactly what the exponent is, which is 27/4. And by the way, this thing changes here if instead of having 4 Fermi interaction, you have 6 Fermi interaction, because this is 3 to the 3 divided by 2 to the 2. So that would be 5 to the 5 divided by 2 to the 2. And the other thing is, so, okay, the number of diagrams is at most exponential, very good. The number of topologies is at most exponential. The number of assignment of ABC indices, this depends on the diagram, right? So for example, in real space, what happens is that, you know, there is a particle that jumps with probability lambda to the neighboring lattice site or cell, you know, lattice size of localization volume, let's say, and creates this particle hole. And it has some phase space available for this particle hole. This phase space, for creating the particle hole, this phase space is k, which is, for infinite temperature, j divided by delta xi. For finite temperature, is t divided by delta xi. For zero temperature, of course, you cannot create a particle hole, because you will have always to create a part. You have a Fermi, see, right? You cannot create a particle. You have to go. You cannot conserve the energy. J is the hopping. Okay, so there are diagrams like this. The particle moves around in your localization volume and starts creating particle holes. And for example, this particle has moved at the third order in perturbation theory, has moved by 3 localization lengths. And the, you know, has acquired the, this amplitude, this object as phase space k cubed. Or for example, the particle can you know, jump back, forward, and backward. Okay? In this case, it has to, you have to take into account that some of the phase space has been taken already by the particle hole here. So it's a fortunate event that the particle that tries to go further actually has more phase space. So we have to tame, if we care about transport, right? We want that at a certain point in perturbation theory, this particle can go as far as possible. So if we care about transport, this is exactly the kind of thing that worries the most. Okay. All right. So this is, you know, the assignment, so k, you know, k to the n in perturbation theory is the number of indices that we can assign. I think I'm going too fast. So if you have questions, I know it's pretty technical, maybe, you know. Say it again. No, I don't disorder average. We do with a finite, with one realization of disorder. You want to calculate the probability amplitude that this Aij has a resonance. Actually, you want to compute the probability that there is no resonance. So you want to bound this Aij. Okay. So this has to be done. Okay. And the other important thing, and this is always true in Anderson localization as far as my experience goes, is that when you have to sum the squares, it's essentially taking the maximum over diagrams, okay? Over paths, over diagrams. Because the probability distribution, because there are resonances, have long tails. For example, see, because you have things in the denominator, the average never exists, okay? So if the average does not exist, it means that there are long tails in the distribution. And in fact, for example, if you have a probability distribution which goes like a to the minus 2 for large a, you have exactly this this kind of phenomenon. The probability distribution exists, but if you try to take the integral of a pa in dA, this diverges logarithmically with the cutoff. Okay, so this. This is, you know, and if you have a probability distribution like this, then if you take a sum, this is going to be dominated by the maximum. So if you want, in the Many people make the parallel with the directed polymer problem for the Anderson localization. It seems to me that these kind of arguments would say that it's always in the frozen phase of the directed polymer problem. So I don't think there is the Anderson transition can be parallel to the freezing in directed polymer problem. So it's just a side remark since I have time to spend.
So. So there is this assumption of forward scattering, right? So
yes.
How restrictive is it?
Yeah. So what I can tell you is for the beta lattice, okay? You can do the same calculation for the beta lattice doing forward scattering, and this is essentially ignoring the fact that ignoring the possibility that you know, if you have two resonant pairs, you actually have to hybridize the wave function over there. So the, ignoring the renormalization of the real part of the self-energy. If you look at Abou-Chakra, Anderson, and Taules, at the beginning they do this. First paper, the paper of Abou-Chakra, Anderson, and Taules, the second is all the Abou-Chakra and Taules. And they do this. And the, if they, you know, if you follow their calculation through, they find that there is a mistake in the critical value, which instead of having a 2, you have an E. This is also discussed in Anderson 58 towards the end, but it's much more obscure. On the beta lattice, it's clear because, you know, at a certain point, you really don't have loops there. The only thing you can do is going back and forth. And so there, so I know what happens there. And there, the error is that you make an error of 30% on the value of the critical coupling. Okay, so I am confident with that here, and also essentially this is if you look at the imaginary self-consistent Born approximation of Bascoli and Altschuler, it's the same thing because they consider again a beta lattice with a very small imaginary part. And they want to see how this imaginary part grows,
yeah.
But they don't look at the renormalization of the real part.
Okay.
It's the same thing. Uh-huh. Loops would renormalize the self-energy, the energy of a site, of a configuration. Okay, now the last step is we need to find the probability distribution of the amplitude, Aij. In order to do this, I assume that these delta E's are Gaussian variables. Okay. If that's not the case, clearly after a certain number of sums, you know, these things are going to be Gaussian variables anyway. So since we are interested in the asymptotics, this is going to work. Okay, so what do we want? We have these random variables with average zero and with delta xi. We sum them because in the denominators there appears sum, and then you have to multiply them and with the appropriate numerator. Okay? And you want to look at the probability that this thing becomes larger than one. When sampled a number of times, which is equal to the number of diagrams and topologies and indices included. It's obviously convenient going to Y, but the interesting thing is that also Y is correlated, of course. So to give you an idea, so we find that the series converges if there is a Z less than one, clearly, such that the probability that the maximum over 27K divided by 4 to the N extractions is less than Z to the N, so that we can sum this. Okay. But if you look at S, in the case of single particle, they are completely unrelated. Okay, so you have this, you know, they are just random numbers between minus one and one, completely uncorrelated one from the other. In the case of many body, you have to sum these uncorrelated variables. So you have a random walk. So now you want to find the probability that the random walk crosses zero. And you clearly see that this happens, you know, less often typically in a random walk than crosses zero a sufficient number of time to accumulate a weight that actually kills this thing here to get the delocalization transition. Not only that, so, oh, this should be a square root of, there should be a square root of n. So the typical value of the amplitude, because of this random walk, it's going to be 1 over square root of n factorial. So it's not the typical, again, as always in Anderson localization, it's not the typical value that counts, but the tails. Okay. So, and this is the last part of the work. We need to compute the probability distribution of y, which was the logarithm of the amplitude. And of course, what's good to do is to look at the Laplace transform of this thing here. And then you can transform back doing the integral on the Bromwich path. And we anticipate that since y is going to be of order n, what we want is a saddle point calculation of this integral. We found something interesting, actually. We find that you can write iteratively this gn of k. K is the Laplace transform parameter. You can rewrite that sum in terms of the nth power of an operator, h, between two vectors, psi and psi prime. And therefore, it's a transfer matrix calculation now. Therefore, now we have to look at the largest eigenvalue of the operator H. The operator H is this thing here. It's a symmetric positive operator. So the largest eigenvalue for Perron Frobenius is going to be positive. And the interesting thing is that you can look actually at this thing as, you know, look at the diagonal parts and the off-diagonal part. And this is hopping problem on a line with the potential, which decreases quickly when you go away from the end m equals 0 of the chain. And hopping is exponentially suppressed. Okay? So you can start developing an intuition of this thing. And in particular, the intuition works because at m equals 0 here, the diagonal term of this operator here, it's essentially gamma 1 plus k divided by 2 divided by 1 times 1, okay? And when k goes to minus 1, which turns out to be the correct thing to do when you do the saddle point, this thing here diverges because gamma of 0 is infinity. Gamma is a pole at 0. Okay, so we find the maximum eigenvalue as gamma 1 plus k divided by 2 plus. And then you can do perturbation theory to add other terms. And each term in perturbation theory adds a less singular term in K. And you have pi squared divided by 36, and then this number, which we could not sum analytically. Now we have everything we need. We plug it back in the Laplace transform, inverse Laplace transform. And we have to compute the probability that what is the light sensor? The ambient sensor somewhere. Maybe I just. Okay, so you want to compute this, the probability that you have no resonances when you sample this 27k over 4 to the n times. And whether this probability, if this probability goes to 1, you are in the many-body localized space. If it goes to 0, you are in the delocalized space. Long story short, you find the critical value for lambda, which is essentially the same condition that Baskin and Schurer find in their paper. And so this condition guarantees that this series made of random terms with probability 1 defines an operator which has a finite norm, and it's local. And therefore, the integrals of motion exist. OK, so let me just repeat what I said. We can define integrals of motion as perturbative series in the interaction. We can study the probability of convergence of such series, This involves studying topology and real space configuration of many-body wave functions, because this particle that hops is creating a many-body wave function. And in the forward approximation, as I showed you, these are the same diagrams of Bascom and Schuller, and therefore give the same convergence radius, even though this calculation that we did with this localized eigenvalue, Bascom and Schuller do with the Meyer-Meyer cluster expansion, which I really didn't understand that part, so we had to find another way of doing the calculation in some sense. So, but it's nice that you can solve it with transfer matrix, and it's exact. And and I will stop here. Yeah, the role of the dimensionality is that essentially you have more of these. So the diagrams are the same, but you have more of these things here because you can now move along one dimension, right? Along, you do one step in one dimension, one step in the other direction, one step in the other. You could do these things, but it seems to me that since it's enough to delocalize on a line, right, you don't need to have to cover an entire circle. It's enough that you have a wave function that can transport along a line. It seems to me that the same calculation should occur. So probably this goes towards this is also something that, this also goes towards this non-ergodic phase, because it might be that there are directions in two dimensions, there are directions in which you can actually delocalize, but before, and therefore breaking many body localization phase, but this is still not ergodic because in the other directions you don't get there. So there are preferred pathways to go far in two dimensions and higher, let's say. So it might be this mechanism is actually beyond the ergodicity breaking in three dimensions, for example. And
So am I right that it supports the intuition of Spolyakov, Korn, and Mirlin that you are sort of moving in the maximum, like in the cascades, and in two dimensions, what would you try to do? You would try to go as far as possible, or you would try to span sphere?
Yeah. I think you would try to go as far as possible, and this would break localization. If you want transport in any direction, then you have to do what you said, but this might require a larger value of the interaction. Okay. So the counting, I was told that in the original version of that paper, the counting was done wrong.
I think in the papers, they acknowledge
For correcting the yes, exactly. That's correct. Yeah. So, but as the paper is now on Physical Review, I think it's correct, and we agree with that counting as well. So, I think. Yeah. So let me do this. So on the beta lattice, suppose you have beta lattice, okay? But this is true also in any dimension. So you start with a particle which is localized here. You turn on hopping, okay? And this particle, you want to find what's the amplitude of the wave function here. In principle, you should sum all the possible paths that go here. So this, but also this, okay? But the shortest paths, the paths that always move closer to the goal, forward, we'll have a smaller a smaller length, and therefore this thing. So this is something, forward approximation, this has been used in statistical mechanics a lot. There are some lectures by Kardar, which show, for example, how to find, you can do the same thing in the high temperature expansion in the Ising model, for example. Yes, it's hidden in their imaginary self-consistent Born approximation, but it uses this approximation, and also we do. So in order to go from a many-body configuration to an under many-body configuration, we only consider the shortest path. And as I said, this has been discussed also in Anderson 58, also in Abuchaka, Anderson, and Taules, and you know, it gets. Yeah, because the thing is that suppose you have this path, right? And then you have this other path that goes here and comes back and then does the following thing. You can see this this second path as a renormalization of the self-energy of this vertex, okay? So the only thing that can happen is that you have a vertex which was in good resonance with this, and the self-energy brings it further away. So this is why you get this depletion from E to 2, and so if you ignore these things, it's not parameter. I mean, there is no parameter you can turn on and off, say 1/n, let's say something like that you can, but it's qualitatively quantitatively also.
Sorry, but ignoring the stuff makes localized space more robust.
It makes the localized state less robust.
Less robust. You can do,
yes.
You can use self energy to get better resonance. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
Any more questions? I'd like to ask the last question. So, what do you expect? You know, if you look at the point where this condition of convergence breaks down,
yes.
So how does it break down? So does it break down everywhere, or does it break down itself?
So what I can tell you is something that I've studied better is for the beta lattice, it breaks down on a single resonance, far away. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it doesn't break down uniformly. Breaks down a single resonance. This goes, and I expect this to be true also here. So the wave function that are eigenfunctions of these integrals of motion, and since they commute with the Hamiltonian, there is no degeneracy, they are also eigenfunctions of the Hamiltonian. Then they have support on a very small set of configurations. Okay, there is nothing uniform, it's just, you know, there is a resonance, there is a localization center here, and then a resonance some place away, and then another resonance some place very far away.
Very rare, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're very rare. In fact, if you look at the beta lattice level statistics at the transition, the level statistics is Poisson there, meaning that different wave functions and neighboring energies are very different, and when you you try to move a little bit, increase a little bit the disorder, they will just shoot through each other, creating this very small avoided crossings, which give rise to Poisson statistics. I think the same is true here. And I think the same is true in the random energy model that we saw at infinite temperature. You're thinking many body on the beta lattice? What you create?
The beta lattice is an approximation to the true box space, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's why I said I don't know about this, I know about the beta lattice. So here we, you know, the beta lattice, it's not, there is no beta lattice. You just have to count diagrams. The fact is that the number of diagrams grows exponentially with the order and perturbation theory. This is the only thing that makes it similar to the beta lattice.